And we are back with another episode, a long-awaited episode. Man, I have missed listening to myself and talking on the mic. I really have missed it over the past. It's been about maybe almost 2 months since I've recorded my last episode, and I apologize for that. But I am your host, Jalen Harris, and this is the Harris Huddle. And this is probably my 9th episode right now. And I really, really glad for the audience that sticks with me. And I really appreciate everyone that sticks with me throughout this whole pandemic and whole me and me learning this process. But as I said, we're back and I'm glad to be back. We have a lot of things going on for this during the gap between this my previous episode and my last episode. But the NFL is back. NFL football is back. College football is about to start up. I'm very glad that the SEC is playing this week, and the Big Ten is coming back in a couple weeks into October. And just announced yesterday, the Pac-12 was going to play a 7-week season yesterday. Well, it was announced yesterday, but they're going to be playing in November. So that's good to see the college athletes, college football players get rewarded for training and preparing during the offseason with Corona. So kind of didn't make sense for them to not play when they went through all the testing, wearing masks, and students like me, regular students, are back on campus with full campuses and they can't play. But, you know, off of my soapbox. But besides all of that good news and great news that's happening in the sports world, we do have some terrible news that, in my opinion, should be in everyone's opinion throughout the United States today. Yesterday, the Attorney General for Kentucky announced that, the grand jury announced that they will only be indicting one officer in the case of Breonna Taylor, the young lady that was killed by officers' bullets during a search warrant, a no-knock search warrant, where her boyfriend at the time didn't know who it is. They didn't announce, and they fired back into the he fired back because, of course, when somebody knocks your door off the hinges or just busts in your house. I mean, I don't have a gun yet. I mean, I know people with guns, and they know people that own houses and apartments with guns. You're gonna ask who's there, or you're gonna not ask and just shoot. But like he did. But in that case, the officers fired about like 20 bullets and ended up 6 of them hitting Miss Taylor. And she tragically lost her life in another case of, really, to me, just police violence, man. In the black community, it's real sad because as I saw the verdict of the one officer getting charged, I think it's Brent Hankerson, getting charged with wanton endangerment. And that basically means that he's getting charged for firing his gun recklessly into another apartment that could endanger people. And that was a Class D felony, so the maximum is 5 years. And I think he got charged with 3 counts of that because a man and his pregnant wife or girlfriend were next door. But it's just unfortunate. And I know people might listen to this podcast or listen to this episode and just be like, what does this have to do with sports? What does this have to do with sports? But I just kind of point them back to my 3rd episode I made overall, where I was talking about George Floyd, and rest in peace to him. And the officers in that case got indicted, which is a great thing. But this is you would have never heard about this Breonna Taylor case without George Floyd. And that's really shocking to see. But it took this long you really hope as a black African-American man, we get justice on cases like this. And I see it affected the NBA, the NFL community terribly, because I mean, the majority of that community is black, like myself. And it hurts to see justice not getting, see the black community not getting justice, because I mean, that could be me, that could be anybody else, because what stops a cop from pulling over, you know, Julio Jones, he doesn't know who he is and he makes a false move when he's dead. I mean, it kind of sucks to hear and it sucks to say, but we have to get justice in this country. And I've seen LeBron James, Chris Paul, Russell Westbrook, various other players, Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, Deshaun Watson. They all spoke on Breonna Taylor and just keep her name alive. And I'm not going to forget the female athletes, Naomi Osaka, throughout the tournament days that she was playing a different African-American male or female on her mask or on her shirt to honor them. All the players took a stand to honor Breonna Taylor, but it's just sad to see, and it's sad to affect the community. And I really want the players to push on the owners, because I really believe, like Stephen A. Smith said on the ESPN, it's gonna take lobbying the owners, the people they know, the politicians that they know, you know, to get those stadiums built. We gotta lean on them to pass more laws to get reform or stop or harsher penalties for these so-called mistakes or just murders, to me. But we have to do that. As a country, we have to get better, because until we love one another, until we get that hate out of our hearts, it's going to be continuous more murders, continuous more beatings, continuous more police abuse until we get justice. And I applaud everyone out there during the pandemic, marching, saying our name, putting more information out there, how to vote. But I'm gonna move from this topic, and I just wish everybody be safe in this pandemic and be safe out here in this world. But on to NFL Sunday. I think it's week three or week four that we are on. Some top games that we have are the Raiders versus the Patriots, Saints versus the Packers, Washington Washington football team versus the Cleveland Browns, the Chicago Bears versus the Atlanta Falcons, Dallas Cowboys versus the Pittsburgh Steelers, and the Cincinnati Bengals versus the Philadelphia Eagles. Now, those are my top games of this NFL Sunday week. And I'm going to go through that line again and probably say my picks, but I'm going to go with the Raiders versus Patriots. I'm going to go with the upset here. I'm going to go with the Raiders because I feel like they played very good on both sides of the ball. Their defense is a little shaky to me. When I saw them play the Saints versus Drew Brees there, which I'm going to discuss in a second, but Derek Carr's throwing the ball well. Running backs running it well. Darren Waller is an absolute beast. He looks uncoverable. And Josh Jacobs is a dynamic weapon out of the backfield with Hunter Renfrow. And their new first-round pick, Henry Ruggs, can be a deep threat. So I really feel like that Raiders team is going to give the Patriots and Cam Newton a real big predicament. But as I said, this game is really tough for me. It can flip either way because Cam Newton is a battering ram, and that Raiders defense isn't really stout to me. And that front seven, really the whole team, but they're growing team, and I feel like the Raiders can pull this one out and with the Patriots. Next game we have is the Saints versus the Packers. I'm gonna go with the Packers here because obviously, if you watch the Raiders versus Saints games last week, Drew Brees struggled mightily, and the Saints offense didn't look in sync, and Saints defense were getting abused by Darren Waller, abused in the run game and the pass game. The Raiders offensive line was just mauling them, and that was with backups at both tackles, and I think even at guard. So they were mauling the Saints. Now, I think they won't play as badly this week versus the Packers, but Aaron Rodgers is a bad man, like Stephen A. He's a bad man. And I really think he's going to throw even though he might not have Devontae Adams this week, but I really think he's going to throw for possibly like 300 yards, maybe three touchdowns, get that running game going with Aaron Jones, get him out of the backfield. I really feel like the Packers are really going to be a good matchup this week versus the Saints. Now, going on to our next game, we have the Washington football team versus the Cleveland Browns. This is possible garbage versus garbage, but I would hope the Browns would take this game because they're obviously the better team on paper. But Washington, those young guys in Washington have a very fierce front seven with Chase Young, Montez Sweat, Jonathan Allen, various other players on that defensive line. That could really give Cleveland and Baker troubles because, I mean, Baker's kind of short, and once they get out there, he could throw picks, miss passes. But if they can protect versus Washington front, I feel like the Browns should win versus Washington. And on to our next game, we have the Chicago Bears versus the Falcons. Lord, I want to pick the Falcons, but listen to the silence. I'm a Falcons fan. And if you know, we just lost that game last week in horrific fashion. Horrific. If Dan Quinn, if you lose this game this week, I'm like Shannon Sharp. Don't even allow you on the plane. But I really think the Falcons should take this game. If Julio plays, that's going to be a big factor. But I don't think the Bears are going to be a good team this year, despite the fact they do have a good defense. But I just think the Falcons overall better. But if we do lose, the struggles of a Falcons fan. I'm not even that old yet, and I might put gray hairs on me. But on to our next game, we have the Cowboys versus Steelers. I'm gonna pick It's the Cowboys versus the Seahawks. Excuse me. But the Cowboys versus the Seahawks, I'm gonna go with the Seahawks. Russell Wilson is playing very good. Those past two games versus the Patriots and the Falcons, wink wink, he's playing at MVP level, throwing about four touchdowns each game, 300 yards. DK Metcalf looks like a beast. Tyler Lockett obviously plays good, Pro Bowl receiver, good returner. And the offense looks like it's going with Chris Carson. They could just look like they can do anything at will with Russ finessing it or going off track and just throwing. By the time you know, he's throwing it behind your head. He's running for 15, 20 yards. So I feel like the Seahawks would be too much for the Cowboys to handle. And I don't really think the Cowboys are a good team as of yet. But as we move on, we move on to the Bengals versus the Eagles. This is a toss-up game. I'm going to go with the Eagles, but Carson Wentz has to play this game because statistically he has been the worst QB the past 2 weeks. He has the most picks. He has the most sacks. He has the most missed throws, as I've heard on ESPN. But I really think Carson Wentz will bounce back, but Carson Wentz has to play better to keep these critics off his back, but he's not showing it. And his, I'm starting to agree with people that they will, that if he doesn't play well, we might see Jalen Hurts. We might. Because you never know. Because you can't keep playing bad. You can't keep throwing picks, or you just can't lose to these teams. But now I do have confidence. Joe Burrow is playing well. I know he set the record for most throws completed by a QB, which is 37 versus the Browns. And the Bengals have a special guy on their hand if they don't bingle it up and just, I don't know, ruin his career. But it's just, you just got to build around him. But obviously the Bengals don't have really much, a lot of talent around them on the defensive side. And offense, they're pretty okay. They can hang with, I would say, about anybody. But their cup is overall just bare. They don't have that much talent. But I like seeing Joe Burrow. I wish him luck with the Cincinnati Bengals. But I got the Eagles in this game. Next, our next topic we're going to go to is my and probably all NFL fans' questions after watching these 2 weeks of games. And my questions are, will the Falcons ever live up to my dreams? Which is my personal question, but no, they won't. No. Which is, my dreams are like making the playoffs, going to the Super Bowl, winning it. But last time we were in the Super Bowl, 28-3. And what did we just do last week? We let them come back from 29-10 or 20-0 in the first quarter. I just don't understand it, bro. I really don't. And I really hate Falcons fans for trying to blame it all on Matt Ryan or one person. But I really think it's on Dan Quinn and the coaching staff, because like people said, this team isn't bad. It's just, I can't put my finger on it. I mean, I can. It's Dan Quinn. But it's just every season I kind of like, I don't think, you know, obviously being optimistic, I want them to make the playoffs. I want them to make the Super Bowl. It's just, it just, after watching that game last week, it kind of makes you just want to just not watch a game the rest of the season, to be honest. But, and I'm a diehard Falcons fan from Georgia basically all my life. But it's just, you can't, the disappointment just eats at you. Now, on to my next question. Is Drew Brees cooked? Now, during those first two, well, this last game versus Raiders, I was just like, ugh, he looks cooked. But I'm gonna lean with the analysts and just say, I'm gonna give him a couple more weeks till I say he's cooked, but he does look like he's struggling to throw the ball. But I know Drew Brees isn't really known for his like deep ball or anything, but he just wasn't real accurate to me. But that may be a case of not practicing long, not getting those extra reps in preseason. But I'm gonna give Drew Brees an extra week's guidance or a gift for me. But on to our next question, we have: will the injuries of Saquon, well, will the injuries of Week 2 hurt their season, specifically like Saquon Barkley, running back for the Giants, Nick Bosa, edge rusher for the 49ers, Bruce Irvin, edge rusher for the Seattle Seahawks, and Jimmy G, the quarterback of the 49ers? Will it hurt their seasons and their prospective team? Now, I'm going to say yes. With the 49ers, the injuries devastated their team. They're out of two defensive linemen, Jimmy G. I think Raheem Mostert, the running back, is coming back, but their team is really bare right now. But I kind of believe in, I don't, but I believe in Kyle Shanahan to last for a couple weeks. Not in the Super Bowl, wink, wink, but in the regular season. I know all my Falcons fans can relate to that, but, you know, I think like with Saquon Barkley, they weren't really going anywhere to me, and I wish them the best of luck with being on the Giants and just coming back to overall good health. And I just really hope he can really just get to another team, because the Giants aren't going anywhere fast. Are the Cowboys extremely good, or are the Cowboys good or extremely lucky? I'm going to go extremely lucky. That Cowboys haven't really shown me anything in the past couple weeks. The Rams have really did their way with them, even though they started to come back. And obviously they came back on my sorry Falcons, but I need another couple weeks to show me that the Cowboys are really like a good team, or besides in just lucky situations. Who will be the Super Bowl contenders this year? My Super Bowl contenders are, I'm going to say Seattle. I'm going to go with the Rams for, I'm going to go with two teams on NFC and AFC. Or maybe three. I'm going to go with the Seattle Seahawks, Rams, another NFC team. Yeah, I'm going to stick with those two. AFC, I'm going to go with the Chiefs, Ravens. Yeah, I'm going to stick with those two. And we're going to stick with those two for our Super Bowl continues. That's my two Super Bowl continues for week two. And our next question, we're going to go with: are people sleeping on the Rams and Raiders? Yeah, I'm going to say yes, because I don't think people have really gotten a chance to see, besides that week two game, the Rams and Raiders play. And they're playing off the charts this year. I didn't expect the Rams to be good. I kind of expected them to be like maybe a middle of the pack team, not really good on some games, but play good. But Jared Goff is really playing above my expectation this year, because he struggled last year, and I didn't really see that number one overall pick besides that year they went to the Super Bowl. And I know with their cap, they're going to need him to play really spectacularly, because they've been signing a lot of guys, Cooper Kupp, Jalen Ramsey, Robert Woods, but they have a good overall team. They're playing good. And I like, not Kingsbury. I forgot that coach's name. That's Arizona Cardinals. But on to the Raiders. Yeah, like I said previously, the Raiders are playing on both sides of the ball. It always depends on Derek Carr. And with Chucky a head coach, he's going to lead them in the right way. And our next question, we have: will Russ get an MVP this year? I say yes. It's a shame he hasn't gotten a vote. He's playing amazing these past couple of years, and he's playing amazing these last few weeks. Now we're going to move to the NBA playoffs. Wow, man. Wow. Watching these bubble games, I really didn't expect it to be that good. The Clippers losing to the Nuggets in game 7, which I predicted, is crazy. Now, if you're not following me, follow me on Twitter. Follow Harris Huddle on Twitter. You'll see, tweet at me, ask me questions, send me send me what you think on games, and I'll try to respond back to you. If you check on my Twitter, that's where I like said somebody asked me my predictions, and I said I really think the Nuggets and the Lakers are gonna come out in the series, and I'm good at this. But the Lakers beating the Rockets handily in five games. And currently the Lakers are up 3-1 on the Nuggets, and I think they're going to close it out on Saturday and just head on their way to the finals. Now, if you haven't seen it, AD hit an amazing game winner in game two at the top of the key. He kind of motioned around LeBron and Miles Plumlee, or Mason Plumlee didn't pick him up, and he hit a beautiful shot that he missed. He missed that same shot versus the Brooklyn Nets before the bubble. It's just crazy. Seeing him hit that shot made me look like, wow, this is coming out party to the rest of the world. Now, the Bucks, if you haven't known before, well, after my last episode, the Bucks lost to the Heat in a sweep 4-0. Giannis has some explaining to do because I don't think Chris Middleton can, I don't know. I will say they need more. Chris Middleton isn't really a solid number two to me. Besides that 37 point game in game three or four the Bucks lost in five games, but besides that 37 point game in game four, that just really, he really isn't doing it to me. He wasn't averaging like 20. I mean, that isn't gonna cut it if you want to make it to the finals to be a number two. And currently the Heat, which are in the Eastern Conference Finals now, versus the Celtics, they are up 3-1 in the on the Celtics. The Heat playing that aggressive, that really suffocating, it seems like, zone defense by Eric Spoelstra is bothering the Celtics badly. And Tyler Hero dropped 37 points off the bench. Can you believe that? Only person that scored more points than him is Irvin Magic Johnson in his rookie season. He's the only other rookie to do that. Besides, it's wild. Like, watching this Tyler Hero guy, he's really amazing. Like, I really feel like he's going to be an all-star in the next couple of years, and he's going to be a major player in the Heat, for the Heat. In his next finals game for the championship. The Heat really had me scared because when you think about their team, they don't have one maybe franchise player in Jimmy Butler, but they don't have stars. They have guys that can come off the bench or start and just give you 20. Everybody can give you 20. Well, Bam can give you 15 and 10. Jimmy can give you 20 on a nightly basis. Goran Dragic has been dropping 20. Jay Crowder can give you maybe 10 points and 10 points, maybe 6 or 7 rebounds. When you got a guy like Tyler Hero coming off the bench, dropping 37 points, that makes them dangerous. I don't think Kendrick Nunn is playing right now, but Tyler Hero, Kendrick Nunn, Goran Dragic coming off the bench. You got various other guys. Derek Jones, the other shooter, number 55 off the Heat, he's a good shooter. And it's just, they're really a great team. It kind of scary for me being a Lakers fan or a LeBron fan, trying to see how we can match up and really expose them. But I feel like I hope the Lakers are going to the finals. They're up 3-1. But when the Lakers go to the finals and play the Heat, that's going to be a big matchup. AD is really going to have to prove himself. LeBron really is going to have to step it up. I know he's 35 years old, and that's hard to say to a Hall of Famer, MVP, champion to step up. But I believe if they really want to win a title, the both of them are going to have to like give it all they got, because the Heat are feisty. They're going to fight. They're going to play every game. No lead is safe with them. They've come back from various leads during the games you thought they were going to lose. They're down by 20, and they just come back and win the game. But let's get back to the Heat versus the Celtics. Kemba is struggling. He's struggling bad. Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown are not enough and are not consistently scoring. They're not trying to penetrate that zone. They're just trying to shoot, but it's not really working for them. They don't really have the big to like affect the zone. I know Robert Williams comes off the bench and Enes Kanter, but they don't really that's not really what the Heat, that isn't scaring the Heat. But them pulling up and trying to take shots from the perimeter and missing is just giving Miami extra possessions to just go down the court and score, which is leading them in the position down 3-1. But in that game yesterday, Jason Tatum did score 28 in the second half, and he was cooking, but you're going to need more. I mean, I'm going to need more from Kemba. I mean, you got Kemba for Kyrie, and he isn't producing. That's a problem. That's a very big problem. I probably would have wanted Kyrie right now, but you got what you got. But Kemba has to prove himself to the Boston fans and the Boston Celtics. On our final topic, my finals prediction. I have, of course, the Miami versus the Lakers. I think the Lakers are going to clutch it out. Probably going to say that finals is going to go to the 7 games. And I think LeBron is going to get his 4th ring coming out the bubble for Kobe Bryant. Kobe being Bryant. Now, but yeah, that's my finals prediction, finals game. Hopefully I'm right for my boy LeBron, get his 4th ring. But we're going to move on to our next topic. SEC football is back this weekend. If you don't know, I attend Mississippi State University, and we play LSU this weekend at LSU's home stadium. And playing the national championship with Mike Leach establishing his new air raid offense and seeing what they're going to do on defense. I feel like this year is going to be a rebuilding year for State. Not saying they're going to be terrible, but I don't think they're going to be as good as the past maybe 2 years, but we'll wait and see. But it might be a tough, feisty game with LSU having some players not opt out in the season. They might not be as talented, but they're still a pretty good team to me that can make the playoffs if they all gel together during the first couple weeks. Now, Alabama, this is a possible title bounce back year or their true test, because a lot of analysts feel like they have a soft schedules, and as everyone knows, and the majority of, well, literally every conference is playing just conference games, and that's a test on your team injuries and just see how tough your team is to outlast the onslaught, because they're only going to have one out of conference game, and this schedule's not sweet. I feel like Alabama's going to be in the playoffs. Ooh, that means they might have to win the SEC, but I'll say there's going to be a bounce back year for them. They're going to be either a tough out or they're going to be in the playoffs. Now for Georgia, they have uncertainty at quarterback. I think the starter is going to be Dwayne Mathis, big kid, number 2, 6'6", probably about 215. He can run, really dual threat. I feel like he's going to be the best option for them, really open up their offense, sling it all around with their new offensive coordinator. And they're, you know, Georgia's defense always tough with Kirby at the helm, and really with Kirby at the helm, they're being a top 10, top 5 defense. But Georgia does have a tough schedule with playing Auburn, Alabama, Florida, Mississippi State. That's, well, not that they're, but I think they play like 5 ranked opponents. But Florida, on our next team, Florida can really compete for the SEC title this year. I think if they beat Georgia, and I think they play LSU. If they win, maybe if they lose maybe like 1 game, 1 or 2 games, and play in the SEC title game, the sky's the limit, man. This is going to be the best year for Dan Mullen. You got my guy Brenton Cox. You got various other trading, Marco Wilson, various other guys on the defensive line, Jeremiah Moon. And on offense, they got Trayvon Grimes, Kadarius Toney, Damian Pierce out the backfield, Kyle Trask, and Kyle Pitts at tight end. They're a really tough out, and I really feel like they're a complete team. They can really give Georgia a test, being Georgia being young on offense and Florida being stout on, to me, both sides of the ball with a lot of returning starters. Now, I feel like Texas A&M is a front runners this year. I don't think they're really going to do anything, but we'll see. People always have faith in Texas A&M, but you know. And we're coming down to our last couple seconds of the episode. I want to give a shout out to all my fans and everyone keeping up with me. Hope to keep this thing going weekly, or try and get it bi-weekly. But as you know, I'm a college student. I'm trying to get everything organized, but really love you guys. Thanks for tuning in. This is the Harris Huddle Podcast. I'm your host, Jalen Harris. Check it out. Check out episodes one through nine. Check out everything. Check me out on Twitter at Huddle Harris and on Instagram _Harris Huddle. And we are out.